Hello and welcome to Always in Escrow with Serena Appel and Colby Burchin. Hello, Colby.
Hello, Serena. I'm feeling very artistic today.
I am too, and so colorful. We have Stephanie Pitts, the artist and owner of Art Nest Studio, who creates nurturing spaces for kids to explore art, make decisions, build confidence, and celebrate their unique creativity every day. Art Nest has two storefront locations in Delray and in Boca. Stephanie, welcome to our show.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me.
Serena, I'm super excited because Stephanie is like a staple in Boca and Delray. If you have kids or you just want to have fun, you heard of Art Nest. Art Nest is everything. You get paint on you. You get dirty. Kids love it. I love it. Stephanie, I'm so glad you're coming on the show.
Well, thank you so much. And that is true. I also like to have fun and get messy. So it's in a perfect extension of myself.
Okay. So you ready for some questions?
I am ready. Throw them at me.
How does providing creative freedom benefit children's development? And why is it so important?
So that is a great question. Every day we are telling our kids what to do. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, go to school, sit down, go over here, transition to this. They are under our spell. We want to keep them in line. We want them to do what we want them to do. And we do the best that we know how, and that's just a natural way of parenting, of teaching, and all of those things. But kids are the most creative beings on the planet, and their creativity needs an outlet, and they need to make their own decisions to know, to understand for themselves right from wrong, what worked, what didn't work. How many times do you tell a kid not to touch something, and it's not until they touch it and it's hot that they actually learn, right? So we have to give them the freedom to explore naturally the way that they want to explore without the rules, without telling them exactly what to do. There's boundaries because we want to keep them safe, of course, but we need them. We need them to explore and to make these mistakes on their own and to understand what they are capable of. So the creative freedom in that is everything because it's not just about being artistic. It's about developmental milestones and setting them up for life.
Absolutely. All right. Can you share some examples of how you encourage creative expression in children through your programs at Art Nest?
We have a very specific language that we use when talking to the kids. We don't say things like, wow, that looks really nice. And that seems like a really natural thing to say. Oh yeah, your artwork is great. It's awesome. But that sets an expectation up like it cannot be awesome. Why would we tell them that? No, we're going to observe what they're doing, encourage their thoughts and creativity. So we say things like, wow, I noticed that you're working really hard on that. I noticed that you use some really thick lines. I noticed that you work like an artist, or I wonder what would happen if you were in outer space while you were painting this. You know, so we're not telling them what to do. We're just simply making observations and then allowing their thoughts to take over the process. When you say, oh, fill in the blank spot. Oh, there's too much white on your paper, fill it in. Then that wasn't their idea. That was our idea. And we really want to encourage the behavior of them to believe and trust themselves in their process. And that's why it's about the process and not the end product. So the language is really, really important. And it is so natural to just say, oh, I love it. I love it so much. And again, it's not about us. We don't want them to have to feel like they need to take that external, reinforcement. We want them to feel good about it. So when a kid goes, do you like it? Do you like it? Do you like it? What do you think? It's, what do you think? How do you feel about it? Because we want to encourage that internal self-motivation and self-esteem. So it doesn't matter what I think. I could think it's horrible, but you know what? It's yours and you believe in it and you should believe it and you shouldn't care what I think. So that's really important too. So I do extensive training with my staff on how to talk to the kids like that because it is extremely unnatural because that's not how we were raised. You know, so extensive training on that. We do a lot of scenarios. I show them examples and we do, sometimes I have a child psychologist come in to talk to the staff, to talk them through that positive reinforcement in the language, and then setting up the environment so that they have all of the tools necessary to fulfill their their vision. So if it's a project, I just use outer space because we do that a lot because kids love outer space. If it's a project about outer space, we have this thing called invitation to create. So we put out materials. It could be construction paper, glue, googly eyes, pipe cleaners, popsicle sticks. And we say, what can you make out of this? The challenge is make something out of this. And if they're like, oh, I don't know what to do, that's too much, you know, it's overwhelming. It's like, well, let's go to outer space. What can you make that resembles outer space? And so they have the materials to make it happen. And the challenge is you use these materials and you have to problem solve to make what it is, what your vision is out of these materials. And that's just an example. There's other times where we give them unlimited materials because they have a vision and they want to make that work. You know, there's more technique-based theories and ways that we do things because if they want to be a technical drawer, there are certain things that we have to teach them. But the ideas are always theirs and they're always making their own decisions about what it is because it's that language that we use.
It's so helpful. I mean, I'm listening to it and I'm also, as a parent, I'm thinking, okay, what would you do for parents that want to foster creativity in their home? How can it like be achieved?
I think, first of all, just taking an interest in your kids' interests, which, you know, we all do, but it's also just allowing them to do what they want to do for a certain amount of time. And it can be, you set up boundaries. So in my house, we have a craft room. It's an art room. And all of their materials are there. They're also responsible for putting things away and cleaning up because it has to be all of their responsibility. If I put things away, then it's where I wanted them, not where they wanted them. And that might not be as accessible as they want it to be. So, you know, there are doors on that room, so I don't have to look at it if it's a mess, but I allow them to understand that if I leave this a mess, I can't access my material. So I'm going to clean this up. We do everything in color order. So all the markers are, you know, in rainbow order. So it makes it easier for them to know where to put it back. There's bins labeled with everything. So I worked really hard on the setup, but it's all theirs to do. So I would say to parents, ask them what they like to do and give them materials that are accessible to them. Don't put it in a place that they can't reach because inspiration strikes when you least expect it. You know, it could be it's right before bed to stall for bedtime. Of course, but you know what? Then build that in. 10 minutes, 15 minutes before bedtime, you can do crafts or you can do art. You know, it's accessible to them. I do keep a little area in each of my kids' rooms so that if they can't sleep, they can get up, they can draw, but it's very specific. I don't leave technology in there. I leave things that I want them to do in there that's appropriate for them to do before bed. So it's about access. It's about showing an interest. And if you can use that language and just be conscientious about not making it about you validating their art is beautiful and just flipping it like, well, what do you think? What do you think about your art? Great. There's also something that I like to do with my own kids that I always tell parents that come into the studio, let them teach you how to do something that they can do. So my son loves to draw dragons. And then we sit and we literally have a lesson. He teaches me how to draw a dragon his way. And we can do that for hours. And he loves it. It builds confidence. I say, thank you so much. I just learned something new, you know, so they become the teacher. It's not just always you telling them what to do. They're empowered. They're empowered to do their art and to feel good about themselves.
Certainly empowering and such kind language and supportive and to start at such an early age, it's really beautiful, very, very supportive. Okay, so what exactly is process-based art and how does it differ from other forms of art education?
Mm-hmm. Great question. And people always ask this question. And it's a very obvious answer, but it's very complex. So the obvious answer is process-based art is about the process and not about the final product. And there is product-based art that's about the final product and all the steps you need to take to get there. So we are process-based, which means exactly everything that I've been talking about. We foster the language for creativity. They worry about the process. We don't even talk about, oh, what are you making? Because it's not about what you're making. It's about what you're doing right now, living in the moment. So that's what we focus on. Now, there's a lot of confusion around, well, how do you actually teach them art if they're doing everything themselves? And the answer is that you can have traditional teaching and it still be process-based art. For example, we have an advanced techniques drawing class. And how are we going to teach them things if we're not telling them what to do, right? Like, that's really complicated. So, and we don't use examples, because if you show an example to a kid, what happens? They think that it needs to look exactly like that. Then it's not their work, and it puts pressure on them. If it doesn't look like that, oh, my artwork's not good. I didn't do it right. And we want to eliminate all of that. So we show them the, you know, if it's a drawing class, we show them charcoal, pencils, you know, ink, anything to draw with. We show them how to use the materials. We show them techniques like shading, light source, cross-hatching, anything that, all the techniques, and we'll show them on something that isn't a final product. And then they practice it, And then at the end, it's like, okay, now create whatever's in your mind, whatever you want. We can give them a theme if they're having a hard time with it, something in outer space. And then use those techniques that we just taught you for your piece of artwork. So it's not guided, here is a bird on a branch. You have to do this. That's not at all what it is, because that rips the creativity right out of it. And there's a time and a place for that. And I respect that kind of art. That's more instructor-led or teacher-led instruction. And that's totally fine. It's all in art schools. I went through it too, and it's really valuable. But that is not what we teach. We teach you have wonderful ideas. You should believe in yourself. You can believe in yourself. And everything that you do is wonderful because you believe that it's wonderful. So that's really the difference.
So incredibly supportive. Oh, I love this approach.
It's something that is not found in many places in life in general. Even if you think about adults, it's we have to do this. We're bound to our schedules. It's like a game of Tetris every day with our schedules, and we have to be here, we have to be there. It's like, when do we ever have that time to just be us and be free, you know? And that's, and I want to teach that to the kids at a very early age, that this is equally as important as managing your time and getting things done and being a productive member of society. But I truly believe you can be a more productive member of society if you have this time and outlet to believe in yourself. You build your confidence, and then you're a better human, you know? So it's something I'm very passionate about.
I am definitely passionate now.
Great. We've converted you.
So balancing a business and motherhood can be challenging. How do you manage your time effectively between the two?
Great question. So at first I didn't, and I would just pass out at the end of the day and wonder why I even did this. It was really hard. What we teach, I had to make the mistakes to learn, and really valuable lessons. And the most important lesson that I learned is that it is okay to ask for help. I get help. I'm blessed that my parents live down here and they're able to help me. They help me with the kids. I was able to cut the cord and hire people to do things that I was doing, you know? So that was really hard, because I just felt like I was the only one that could do this. Nobody else can do this. How could I hire somebody to do it exactly how I did it? And then I realized there were many ways that I could actually train somebody to do it. I came up with systems and processes, and I found some remarkable people that work for me and keep my vision going. And they truly believe in the vision as well. So it's our vision. And so, you know, they step up, and some of them are also moms. And I really get joy out of giving them an opportunity to have the flexibility to, you know, volunteer at the school and stay home with their kid if they're sick. And, you know, so we all kind of help each other out in that respect. So it built a community. We have a village. It's the Art Nest Village, and we all help each other out so that we're able to have work-life balance, and all of us. And taking time to indulge in self-care. That word is like a buzzword for me, because self-care puts pressure on it. Like, you have to have self-care. You know, it's like, when I have time, I do things that I enjoy and it makes me feel better. That's kind of how I look at it. So, you know, I just put on my calendar, I put my time, And I put my phone on silent and I either meditate, you know, go for a walk, just, you know, I play music. So I play the piano. So I'll play the piano. I do my own artwork, whatever it is. That is my time. It is blocked off. It is part of the Tetris board that is my schedule, but it's locked in and it's on repeat every week. You know, and doing things just, you know, making sure my husband takes the kids to school in the morning so that I can work out at that time. Cause then I do pickup, you know, like there's so many, things that you can work in. And I had to learn that before. I was just trying to do everything myself because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. But no, I just asked for help. I asked for his help and I came up with systems and processes for my staff. And that was everything that allowed me to have balance.
Well, sounds like you're juggling it very well and finding those solutions. Incredible. Can we talk about growing your business? Starting from the proof of concept to multiple units is such a significant achievement. What were some key milestones or strategies that helped you scale the business?
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it has been such a journey. I still can't believe it's real. You know, I took my passion and my side hustle and made it a business. Everything that I've done out of passion. And I think that is the key to starting a business. If you're not passionate about it, you're not going to see it through because it is a lot of work. And, you know, there's things that you love to do, but there's also the things that you don't love to do that you have to do, you know? And so we all have our strengths and weaknesses. And so if you're not passionate about it, it's hard to see the big picture of why you have to do the things that you don't want to do. But we started really small. And I think that was really important. And that's what created the success initially. We had a tiny location in Delray Beach. It felt like my living room. And it was my dad and I, and my dad's an artist. And we were like, oh, we'll just take a back room and work on our own art. And I'll teach classes to pay the rent and it'll be fine. And so we opened and clearly it was a need in the community because we literally blew up. I mean, we were selling out. People were asking for things. It was incredible. We were so lucky and it's such an amazing community in Delray. And, you know, they really embraced us. So we were like, okay, we can either keep doing this or we can take it as a sign and get a bigger location and fulfill the requests of the community. And so we decided to get the bigger location, which is our current Delray location. And then we started doing birthday parties and workshops and all different things. And then I decided, because at first I was only working when my kids were in school. I didn't do weekends. I didn't do after school because I was like, I want to be there for my kids. No way. And then I hired my first person. And that was that like cutting of the cord. Like, okay, if I want to grow, I've got to cut the cord. And so I hired, you know, a few people to do the weekend birthday parties and then the after school classes. And that's when we really started moving. And it was just, you know, after about 2 years in the Delray location, we listened to our community. They were saying, over here in West Boca, hello. So we opened in West Boca and I was like, let's just do it. Let's just see what happens. We're doing really well in Delray. Let's do it. So, you know, we opened in West Boca and it just felt right. A lot of what I've done is not based on analytics. It's not, you know, it was an intuitive feeling. We can do this. We got this. I am inherently a risk taker. So it was a calculated risk. Let's just do this. And then COVID hit. So we opened in November of 2019 in Boca. And then a few months later, it was COVID. That was actually, I mean, obviously it was a terrible time, but we learned so much. And that was, for me, a huge milestone because what it said to me was, this business is about connection with the community, connection with the families, because we had so many people tell us that we were the only people that they trusted to keep their kids safe during the time. And they needed the kids to go somewhere because they needed to get out. And, you know, we followed all safety guidelines. We, you know, cleaned like crazy. You know, we had services come in to clean and sanitize and everything. And, you know, and they said, we only trust you. And they sent their kids and we would have way smaller classes. It was like 8 to 10 kids in each class. It was the same kids every week. So they kept like pods and, you know, and so what it taught me was, you know, business is business and, you know, you have to run a viable business and numbers are really important, but the connection with the community is even more important. So we just always have our finger on the pulse of the communities. So, and here we are with, we have two studios and I actually have a third warehouse space for, we have an offsite team and we actually go into schools. So we're in a bunch of schools right now doing after school enrichments. And I finally have like a director of offsites and a whole enrichment team. It's like a whole separate set of teachers that goes out to the communities and the schools. So that's a wonderful business opportunity for us because there's no capacity limit. We just can keep going. We don't have the capacity of the studio holding us back. We just go and we go to the communities in the area. We'll go to the Boca Bridges, the Seven Bridges, the Bridges, all the GL communities. And we put on, you know, splash events and we do offsite birthday parties. So I have a whole team for that. So we're constantly coming up with new ideas on how we can be creative in building the business. And so it's in a perpetual, knock on wood, perpetual state of growth since day one.
So I'm curious, with all these birthday parties and all these gatherings you've done, can you share a memorable success story or moment from your journey as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, every day is memorable. No 2 days are the same. But I would say really opening the Boca location I felt like that was success to me. I had two locations in 2 years.
Just genius. You're a genius for that. I'm telling you.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean,
I'm telling you as a parent, it was amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. Yeah. And there's so many homes here. It's just all kid friendly homes. And, you know, and then I moved to this side. So I went from East El Rey to West Boca. So it made sense. But yeah, I mean, that was really monumental for me. And then every time I have a staff meeting, I literally get choked up in the beginning of the meeting because the amount of staff that I have almost 20 staff members. And that's insane. You know, and I'm like, how? It just used to be me teaching every single class, doing everything, cleaning up, you know, doing, you know, talking to the parents, doing sales, doing marketing. I did all my own social media. Now I have a marketing firm, you know, an outsourced firm. I have a director of offsites. I have a director of sales. I have a director of operations. And then I have a manager in Boca, a manager in Del Rey. And then we have our teachers. It's so that to me is the most epic moment for me every time I walk into a staff meeting. And I'm like, this is unbelievable, you know, to me.
Wow, what a place to work, what a place to experience. Your passion is infectious. It's incredible to see it coming through and to hear your story. Thank you so much for sharing. Okay, one last question. I mean, we can go on, but I want to know a little bit about what we can expect from the future of ArtNest.
Well, I am glad you asked because like I said, I'm never satisfied. I get bored easily and I need to continue to find fun things to do. So I'm actually just in the process of, or completed the process of preparing for partnerships and taking on partners to open more ArtNests. I want to build an empire because I honestly believe that if all kids, the more kids that are affected by process-based art and this positive, supportive environment where they make their own decisions, where they feel confident and build confidence within themselves, they become better and kinder and more respectable and respective humans as they become adults. And so I feel like if we have thousands of kids, you know, having this philosophy when they're younger and they grow up with it, that it can literally change the world. And I know that seems far-fetched and crazy with my two locations, but I truly have that vision of having ArtNests around the world and having parents also understand this philosophy so that they can continue it in the home and give their kids freedom. They just need the creative freedom to build that confidence and to understand each other, work out their problems amongst each other, that we're not chiming in like, no, say sorry, but they didn't actually mean sorry. Like, they need to figure that out. And I think the more that they learn that, the better adults they become and a better world this world can be.
Brilliant. Do it. I believe in you. You are incredible. And, you know, to put out what you're putting out there is really going to change so many of us. Thank you so much for taking care of the future of our children.
Well, thank you. And thanks for asking all those questions so I can get my message out.
Stephanie, you're an inspiration. Thank you. So Stephanie, tell everyone, because, you know, I've experienced it. My kids go to your place and they have such a ball. I want everyone to know, do you offer camps?
We do. It's one of our most popular offerings. So we have camps on, we have summer camps, we have spring break camp, and we try to accommodate all of the different school schedules because everybody's on spring break at different time. So basically all of March is spring break camp. And then we also do non-school day camps. So any day that a school is off, we offer a non-school day camp because we want to help the parents out. The kids need something to do. And it's all day. It's creative madness. It's just so much fun. And we really love them. So they're any non-school day. And if there's a school that has a random day off that we don't have on our schedule, people call us and they say, hey, can you do a camp this day? I say, get five people together. We'll put a camp together. And it's no problem.
It's wonderful. Such a great thing. I think it's great for, I think adults should do this.
Yes. Oh, we do adult events too. So we actually have a neon glow extravaganza party going on for adults. So it's like, YOB, come in and use the splash room and go crazy. And we also did it was called I Heart Chakra, and we brought it back. We're bringing it back in April. And it's, we do sound bowls and meditation. And so we kind of get into ourselves, you know, calm ourselves, bring ourselves down, and then go crazy in the splash room. So you're releasing everything. So it's really cool experience. So we're gonna expand on the adult events. That's coming soon.
Serena, you need to come back to Boca and do this with me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm there.